Sing, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Sing again. I bless the Lord with all my soul, and all that
you.
the center of it all. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. See again. At the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. There is power, oh, there is power in your name. Your name. As we lift our voice in praise, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. There is power, there is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name. As we lift our voice and praise, it's you that than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest, Lord. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher. You are greater, greater than the greatest. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater.
center. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. One more time, there's power. There is power in your name.
There is power in covenant. We're live. Shana Tova. Happy New Year. Happy Rosh Hashanah. Amen. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you and you alone are God, and your words are final. What you say is what is. What you have established cannot be torn down. The people that you marked out, the people of Israel, in spite of all that has happened to them through millennia, are still here, a nation, because you made a promise. Your word has been attacked through millennia. But Lord, your word is still here. Your church has been harassed through millennia, but your church is still here. Whoever you have laid your hands on cannot be removed. And so we are confident this day that your glory is made manifest in our lives. This one thing we do tonight, we repent, O God, of everything that we've done to sabotage your word, sabotage your person, sabotage your name, sabotage your integrity. We repent before you. We cry out to you. And we say, Lord, as it is said, let the past be the past. And may we, O God, begin afresh in a new beginning this day for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is Rosh Hashanah. Hallelujah. And tonight, even though we do not have rights to this particular blowing of the shofar, we want to make that clear right up front. But we want to participate in the blessing of the blowing of this shofar. So at this time, the shofar is going to be blown, and then I'm going to come back in just a moment and share the word of the Lord with us.
Young cantors of the world, but he's also the most phenomenal Baal Tekiah for the shofar. You're about to hear an amazing shofar call. Live only at Ezra Habodim Niles Township Jewish Congregation in Skokie, Illinois, but now available to the whole world via video. Tekiah! Shvarim Truah! Tekiah! Shvarim Truah!
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You heard certain words being mentioned while the shofar was being blown, and I did mention those words yesterday when the shofar was being blown. The first word that you heard the man, the rabbi, mentioning is the word Tekiah. And it's just a call to attention, a call to attention, to repentance, to an awareness. And basically, all of it is about that. It's all about an attention. It's a long blast, but not as long as Tekiah Gedolah, which was the last one that was really, really long. Okay? And in between, he was saying truer, and truer is when nine puffs, staccato puffs, are made, and beep, 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 nine blasts like that. And shivarim is three blows, you know, ter, ter, ter. And it's a call to an awareness about the seriousness of relating to God. But the shofar was also blown to get people not only to pay attention to an importance of God coming to the people, but also it's blown at certain times to declare that God and his people are going to war. Amen? So, and it's an alarm call. Nehemiah talks about when the trumpet or the shofar is blown, everybody run to where I am. You know, let's pull together. It's a call to unity. It's a call to wholeness. It's a call to awareness. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'll leave that alone. And I want to welcome you all to the house of the Lord this wonderful day. I am truly awed by how God has been dealing with us and what he's saying at different times. And you've heard me say this before, that I believe I've been preaching one message from when the Lord called me to ministry, September 5th of 1976, until now. It's just different pages or chapters, one line upon the other, precept upon precept. And I'm amazed at how God is putting everything in its proper order. It may seem like things are taking forever, but God is on time, and he's going to do what God and only God can do in our lives. Amen? And so tonight, I want you to pay attention to what God is doing, not to what the devil is doing. You are not part of the camp of the enemy. Amen? We need to know who our enemy is. We need to be aware of what he's doing, but we don't focus on what he's doing. We focus on what we are going to do. Because God, this is important, God knows every move of the devil. Even before the devil knows it, God knows it. And he checkmates him every time. Hallelujah. So rather than trying to figure out what is the devil doing, figure out what God is doing. Amen? Let's connect with God and what God is doing, because when we know what God is doing, we win all the time. There's, you know, magicians, you know, do what they call it, sleight of hand. Well, if you watching and watching really attentively, you get deceived by what the enemy is doing. So that's not where our focus is. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So tonight, we're going to focus on what God is doing and aligning with what God is saying. Praise the Lord. And part of our call as God's people is to enforce God's will, God's word now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe the first time I ever preached on spiritual warfare in this ministry, it was captioned, "The Enforcers." I didn't come up with that title, because I'm not good at that. I know that. But the Lord said, "I want you to teach on spiritual warfare, and I want you to caption it, 'The Enforcers.'" And I said, "Okay, now take me step by step on this particular subject." And he did. And precept upon precept, line upon line. God has called you and called me to enforce his will. There are many laws in the book. There's so many things that are legislated that are not enforced. And there's so many things that God has promised us that we are not enforcing. And if we are going to be partners with God, we've got to understand that God is calling us to be enforcers. We are his authority in the earth. Amen? And whatever it is that's happening, it's not because God doesn't have an answer to it. It's because we are not doing what God wants done. And God is not going to force himself on us or on anybody. Not until. Let me say it again. Not until he gets rid of this system that is in this world and gets rid of this world out, completely removed. Then he starts the new system where you don't have a say. Because you've already had the say and you have already decided that he is Lord. And as soon as you said, I give you my allegiance and you are Lord, he says, okay, now I'm in charge. You have no say. Amen? Until then, you have a say. The Bible tells us, watch this, Jesus, our Lord, overcame Satan. Did he not? He took the keys of death and grave off of the enemy. Praise the Lord. He defeated him on the cross. He made a public show of him publicly. Yes? And he got all the power and all the authorities, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Praise the Lord. But then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the God of this world. The God of this world is still the devil. But he's not the God of your world. Amen? For we are not of this world. The only time I like to call myself an alien, praise God, is when I remind myself I'm not of this world. Praise God. We are the aliens that overcome the aliens. Glory be to God. Amen. But God needs us to be his partners. His partners because he does not have control of things here without us surrendering ourselves as living sacrifices to him. God is only in charge as much as you let him be in charge. Please hear what I'm saying to you. That's why people can still be raped. That's why people can still be robbed and people can still be murdered. Because until I do something about it, the evil continues. But in the place of intercession, in the place of prayer, I can pull down the will of God in heaven and manifest it here in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because I am his ambassador. And the Bible says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Did Jesus die to save people? Did the Word of God say that he's a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world? Did the Word of God say Jesus paid the price for the sins of all mankind? Huh. Well, guess what? People are not going to get saved until the word is preached. Who preaches the word? We do. So if we don't preach the word, they're not going to get saved. So if I'm going to be a partner with God, I have to receive his present word from heaven, a very specific word that is a Kairos word for that particular individual at that particular time. That means that I need to be God's prophet. That I surrender myself as a vessel of honor unto God. And say, God, use my life. Use this life of mine to do something extraordinary in our day and in our time. And you may be talking with somebody, and all of a sudden you hear something by the Spirit of God, and you say whatever it is that you're hearing, and the person begins to bawl, and they begin to cry, and they just, oh my, you just read my whole life. What you said right there answered all kinds of questions in my life. Now I understand. But all you did was just have a discussion. But the God who knows him, knows her, knows his father, knows his mother, knows his grandparents, knows his great uncles and everybody around him, his boss and whatever else, is talking to him about something that means something to him this very moment. Because you're a partner with God. And what God is saying to us, having told us that he is establishing his covenant. What is this covenant? That I'm going to be your God. Praise the Lord. That is the primary purpose of the covenant. God says to Abraham in the book of Genesis 17 and verse 7, he says, and I will establish my covenant. And that's what exact words that God spoke to us about when we came through 2021 or the year 5781. So I'm going to establish my covenant. This is the year of the establishment of my covenant. And he has established his covenant. And what is his covenant about? He says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, between me and you, and thy seed, that's your children, after thee in their generation. In other words, just as I'm making this covenant with you, I'm going to make it also with your children. And I'm going to make it with your children's children in every generation. In other words, this is a covenant that's going to be renewed consistently, and it is an unbroken commitment from God for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee. That's the covenant. I'm going to be God to you. And to thy seed after thee. I'm going to be God. So the covenant God has made with us is this. I'm going to be God in your life. And as I am God in your life, living in you, because you've presented yourself as a living sacrifice unto me, you've died unto the things of the flesh, and you are alive unto me, I'm going to live my life in you and through you and establish my word, my purpose. You are not going to be under, you're going to be above. Hallelujah. You're not going to be tail, you're going to be head. And the church of Jesus Christ needs to come to that awareness of who we are, that we are covenant sons of the Most High God. Amen? I'm a person of covenant. Praise the Lord. And when God makes a covenant, he sticks with it. Two Sundays ago, we talked about the power of covenant. And when Israel made covenant with the Gibeonites, even though they were not Israelites, the honor and the grace and the authority, the power, the favor that God had for Israel also now impacted the people of Gibeon. Praise the Lord. So that, you know, God, so even though Joshua made a mistake in getting into that covenant, God got involved in the battle that Joshua took on when the enemies of Israel attacked the people of Gibeon. And the people of Gibeon said, we cut a covenant with you. Please come and help us. And God said, yes, Joshua, go fight for them. And Joshua went, and he went, the Bible says he went speedily. He went suddenly. And he overtook the five kings of the Amorites. And while he was doing that, and the Amorites were running away, God was from the heaven, opened the heavens, and started raining hailstones, big rocks, on the enemy, and started wiping them out. And the Bible says God, through the hailstones, killed more people, more of the Amorites, than Joshua did. God says, hey, I made a covenant with you, and now you pass on that covenant to these guys. Now I'm in covenant with them, even though they don't qualify, but because you brought them in, I'm going to stand with my covenant people. God is a covenant-keeping God. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's promised you, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is partnering with us as a God of covenant. Says, I am in this game with you. You and I together, we're on the same team. I remember, you know, growing up, you know, we used to play soccer, and the way it worked was that we played it against streets. So Church Avenue will play against Macrae. And if people on Macrae will choose their 11 or 12 or 13, and these guys over here at church will choose theirs, or Main Street or McPhillips or whatever street, and they'll make their teams and they come to play. And it was always a challenge. Am I going to be picked? And they start picking, and they're picking. They say, when is it going to be my turn? They've picked already 10 people, and now they're going to pick the last one and saying, it better be me, it better be me. Well, God has picked you. He says, you're part of my team. And when you're part of God's team, he's part of your team. Praise the Lord. But God is not going to be unequally yoked. Please hear this. God is not going to be unequally yoked. He says to you and I, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That means don't partner with an unbeliever. And if God is saying that, and that's an important point that you need to make note of, write it, underline it. God will not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And if that's what he says for me not to do, guess what he's not going to do? He's not going to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So guess what I'm not supposed to be? An unbeliever. Oh, but this is the catch. An unbeliever is not somebody who does not believe. An unbeliever is somebody who is unbelieved what he used to believe. What you used to believe about God, you don't believe it anymore. Why don't you believe it? Because I had this problem and I was praying and there was no answer. Maybe it's not God's will. Don't go there. Don't go there. There's a man called Lazarus who had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus loved him. He loved Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick. And they sent word. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus in John 11. It says, the Lazarus, the one that you love, is sick. The Bible tells us that Jesus stayed where he was. He didn't move. He didn't move until Lazarus died. And when he was dead, he said, let's go. Where are we going? We're going to Bethany. To do what? Lazarus is asleep. Oh, well, if he's asleep, we don't need to go. He must be fine then. Jesus says, no. He actually kicked the bucket. Mm-hmm. And the disciples are thinking, what did you just say? Didn't you say that this sickness is not unto death? And now you're telling us the man is dead? What did they do? They said, let's just go. Let's go die with him. Let's just go. Because we've invested all of our lives following this false prophet who said the sickness is not unto death. In any language, this sickness is not unto death means exactly that. It is not unto death. But in the mind of God, it didn't mean that he was not going to die. It just meant that he was not going to stay dead. I'm going to go there. I'm going to fix this problem. You see, because there is not a problem that you and I are going to face in this lifetime that God cannot fix. Even when you think it is finished, God just says, today I want to, really check out my muscles. So I let it go to the very worst so you can see how great I am. Amen? Hallelujah. So even when it seems like everything is lost, don't count it lost. Not when you have heard from God the word of faith. When Jesus finally came to Bethany, Mary and Martha said, if you'd just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. In other words, it's your fault. Our brother is dead. But that's a nice way of saying it. You know, we can live in the world of what ifs. And if you live in the world of what if, you'll never relate with this God that we're talking about. What if this happened? And what if that? It doesn't matter what happened or didn't happen. God is faithful all the way. If there's one thing I can say to you as your pastor and say it emphatically, it is that God is faithful. Now, I've been in situations where it seems like he wasn't faithful. But when the whole story was told, I was thankful that what God did was the right thing to do. Amen? Amen? You know, now and then, Mom and I will be driving around this city, and we'll remind ourselves of the prayers we prayed so many years ago. Just even right here in the North End, little dingy little houses that were built during the war. Because we were living our lives based on what we thought we had in our pocket, or actually did not have. We thought, God, if you can only, we'd like to have a house. We'd like to have a house, praise the Lord. God, if we can only just have one house like that, some little one-bedroom nonsense. And God did not answer that prayer. And today I say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise God. If he had answered that prayer, I'd still be paying mortgage on that one-bedroom house. The devil's a liar. But a God of covenant looks and says, I made a covenant that I'm going to bless you and make you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. I'm not going to give you that mess. No, I'm not going to give you that mess. But I think of the goodness of the Lord. Things God has in his mercy protected Mama and I from. I say, God, thank you for mercy. I don't know why you delivered me from that. But you did. There are burdens that people carry in their lives. That have weighed them down. That I could have carried and could have weighed me down, stopped me from doing what he wants me to do. And God, when the devil tried to create a problem, goes in there and hauls that thing out of the way. It's just, I didn't even know why he was doing it until he had done it. And while I'm busy crying, God, why did this happen? Well, it happened because I have an assignment for you. And if this thing happens, you will not be able to do it. It will make it too difficult for you. God has promised, listen to me, he has promised, he said, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. He made a promise. I'm not going to allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to handle. I'll provide a way of escape. And I've seen the way of escape. And all I can say, God, if it were not for your mercies, if it were not because of your grace, I would have been in that same mess. That's why I don't spend my time pointing fingers at people, because I don't know their problem. I don't know their problem. You see somebody going through something and you want to put your mouth in there. If they say blah, 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 just keep your mouth shut, because you don't know nothing about anything. You really don't know. It takes mercy. It takes being a person in covenant with God. If it were not for God's covenant, I know I would not be standing here talking to you right now. How many times have the enemy tried to take me out? I'm not talking about decades ago. Just the enemy comes in there and it looks like I'm gone. Dead. You didn't know about that. Coming out from ministry, right there, dead. I mean, D-E-A, dead. And God steps in there. And the next day, I'm in church preaching. Because I serve a God of covenant. One of those times, it was in Toronto. We just come in from somewhere in the States. I'm feeling bad. I'm just really sick. And I went to the commode, and I'm there. And that's where it happened. Mama is sleeping. God awakens her. She comes in and she sees me there. And I'm talking to her. And the next moment, I'm gone. And she starts praying and interceding. I thought I was still around. I was long gone. I came out of it. I don't know why I'm telling you these stories today. Came out of it. Went to the hospital. Checked me out. They couldn't find any reason for it to have happened, but it had happened. Because the devil says, You creating too much trouble. I have to get rid of you. You are a disturbance in the force. You creating too much havoc. But I serve a living God who says, no, devil, you don't have a chance. But what did God need? He needed somebody to stand in the gap. And that day, it was Mama. What about the time I was coming through from another powerful ministry? I was in South America. And I'm flying back. And just left one city where a flight was delayed almost all day. And I'm feeling bad. What's going on? I go into the cubicle in the plane, and the next thing I see myself, after a while, I was on the floor. I got up, so what happened? The next thing I know, I was back. Waking up after a while. What? What's going on? And I came out of there, and the hostess comes, looks at me, says, something's wrong. Something is very wrong. I didn't tell her about how many times I'd passed out. So she started doing whatever it is that she needed to do, she says, you are going to the hospital as soon as we land this plane. And I said to her, no way am I going into the U.S. hospital. The devil is not going to get a dime from me. Hallelujah. You get into that hospital over there. Oh, my. Ching, 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 ching. Starting from the ambulance. I said, no. He said, but you're not. I said, uh-uh. I am perfectly fine. He said, but you don't look like it. I said, doesn't matter. I said, only one thing is going to happen right now. He said, what's going to happen? I said, get me. And, oh, wow, was it a very difficult situation. The lineups, they had to walk me through. And I said, God, whatever it is that's in my system that's creating this problem, I'm going to throw it all out. I thank you. I'm your son, and whatever poison is in my system today, it's coming out right now. And that's exactly what happened. All of it came out. And I went to my next flight just like nothing happened. Glory be to God. When you are connected, it does not mean that there will be no problems. It just means that you overcome the problems. And this year, you are going to overcome all kinds of issues that's going to cause the enemy to lose all his hair if he's got any. Because the glory of God is going to be made manifest in you and through you. You are in partnership with God. God is saying, I am coming into partnership with you, and I'm going to use your life in incredible ways. Hallelujah. God is going to use my life. God is going to use your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 12. I'm going to read through this. This one verse that I really want of all of this, but this is what the Word of God says. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. It's talking about obedience. It says, so you've obeyed not only just while I was present, but when I'm away, in the public, in the secret place. Whether I'm there or not there, whether somebody's there or not there, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean that your salvation is by works. It's saying, basically, that which I have given to you, work it out. Apply it. Just like wisdom is the application of knowledge. So basically, what I have given to you, apply it, work it out, use it. Why? Verse 13. For it is God, what's that? Which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God which worketh in you. God is going to partner with you and I so that we can do his good pleasure. And what is that good pleasure? It is the walk of faith. We talked about the fight that we fight. This one fight, one battle, is a battle to stand. It's a battle of fighting the good fight of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yeah? It's impossible to please God. So what God is saying is, I'm going to work out faith in you. His faith through me. Why? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, who came and made partnership with me by his faith. By his faith. And the faith of God does not fail. Oh, glory. God's faith will never fail. Therefore, failure is not part of my itinerary. It is not my portion. It is not anything that belongs or connects with me in any way, shape, or form. Because by the faith of God, I can do all things. So what do I do when I'm faced with a challenge? I say, Father, what I see is beyond me. But what you see is not beyond you. So God, here it is. So the word of God says, cast all of your burdens and your cares upon me, for I care. God is not saying to us as we step into 5782 that we are stepping into a world that is problem-free. No, 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 no. I said this to us before, and I say it again. The world is going to have more issues. You know, people were saying, 2019, you know, going to 2020, pandemic, oh, yeah, yeah, it's going to be finished. You know, oh, praise the Lord, we've come into 21. It's all, it's as if crossing from December 31st to January 1st changes the devil. Come on, excuse me, give your head a shake. The thing is, what God said to us is there's going to be issues. There's going to be shut doors. But in the midst of the shut doors, I'm going to give you open doors. Amen. That's what he said. And that's exactly what he did. While there was a shutdown, we were doing more ministry, reaching more lives, more souls getting saved, people getting healed. But the doors were shut. And he said to us, then, he said, you remember Peter in the jailhouse? I came there and the guy was just chilling, sleeping. He said, and my angel had to smack him to wake him up. How does an angel come into your room and you don't feel nothing? The guy is so asleep. Smacks him. Chains fall off. The doors are still shut. And they show up on the other side. And they kept on going. But then the Bible says, the saints were busy praying. And this first thing I want to say to you, is this, that this, our partnership is first and foremost is going to be in the realm of prayer. Rise with me for a moment. You say with me, Father, I receive a prayer anointing on my life right now. I have the capacity to pray the will of God into the earth realm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sit down. The saints were busy praying. And the Bible says, it's remarkable. It says that Peter and the angel came, and it came by the iron gate. Put that scripture up for me. Them coming by the iron gate in the book of Acts. And what happens? The Bible says that the iron gate opened up by itself as they approached it. The iron gate opened. And what does it say? Watch this. When they were past the first and the second ward, the first and the second ward is the experience of 2019 into 2020 and the experience of 2020 into 2021. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. When they've come through this, the Bible says they came unto the iron gate that what? Leadeth unto the what? It led into the city. So where were they? Outside the city. This is the time for us to penetrate the city. Oh, I don't know if you heard what I said by the Holy Ghost. It is the time for us as a church, not only here in Winnipeg, but the Church of Jesus Christ, who are moving under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to penetrate into the city. It says, it led unto the city which opened to them. It opened to them of its own accord. Hallelujah. When the will and the people of God please God, he makes even the enemy to do the right thing by them. This is a season that we're stepping into where what the enemy tried to do to shut us out, it's not going to work. The door is going to open up. They think they're going to shut it, but the iron gate says, I'm not going to stay in the way. They've come through 2019, 2020. They've come through 2020 to 2021. I'm getting out of the way on this one. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting out of the way. Amen. Listen, don't listen and listen and connect yourself with the news. Know what they are talking about so that you know the miracle that God is going to do. Amen? Amen. No limits. It says they went out and passed on through one street and forthwith the angel departed from him. That's important. Because this is the same experience of the children of Israel. While they were going through the wilderness, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud was there. Manna and quail was there. Water following them by the rock was there. They defeated Sihon and Og, the two kings, and they come into the promised land. And when they come into the promised land, and remember, God said the covenant is about God being our God. But the other aspect of the covenant is that the man of God is blessed with property. Amen. Hallelujah. Get ready for some property.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you listening? I said, get ready for some what? Property. How the property gets into your hands is none of your business. It says you're going to live in houses that you did not build. You're going to drink from wells that you did not dig. You're going to eat fruit that you did not plant. Someone say, hand it over right now. Hand it over right now. I have come into my inheritance. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Things are going to be handed over. Amen. Experience the favor of God. Praise the Lord. The faith of God activated in you and through you is going to cause you to come into an experience that is not normal. But this time, There's no angel. You know why there's no angel? Because now you are empowered to do what you got to do, whichever way you want to do it. Praise the Lord. Please, I pray that we're hearing what the Lord is saying to us. Hallelujah. The application of God's wisdom, His insight to issues. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, I'm not going to cover as much as I need to cover today, but there's tomorrow. In Romans chapter 12, beginning to read from verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or the very least that you should do. Release yourself. Give yourself over to God. My prayer tonight, before we leave this place tonight, is going to be simply this. God, I release my life to you. Take a hold of this life of mine and do something with it. Amen? Verse 2 says, for you to be able to accomplish this, it says, and be not conformed. Don't allow yourself to be poured into the mold of this world. How many of you have ever made Jell-O? Do they still have those things, Jell-O? Yeah? Okay. Now, if you're going to make Jell-O, when you finish making your mix, you pour it into something that is going to be the mold, right? And then you cool it, and then it takes the shape of the mold. Yeah? God says, don't allow yourself to be poured into the mold of this world. What is it to be poured into the mold of this world? Is to begin to think like the world thinks. You know, so many people, when they think about the mark of the Antichrist, they think about, you know, something being tattooed in their head and in their hand, right there. Yeah, there might be a physical thing like that. But don't concern yourself about that as much as you concern yourself on how you think and how you do business. All the world wants to do is get you to think in a particular way so that when you have been made to keep on thinking that way, they can wrap the deal up and you are already caught in the system. So the one thing that you and I need to do is renew the spirit of our minds. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think like God thinks. There are challenges that are going to happen. But there's a way to think, the God way, that will get you and I off of the entrapment of the enemy. Don't give your birthright away. As a person of covenant, know who it is that you've made covenant with, that He, the one that you made a covenant with, is altogether faithful. He cannot lie. Amen? Amen? God cannot what? Lie. God cannot what? I tell you what, God is love, huh? He's love, and He cannot lie. So the decision that you need to make is this: God does not hate me enough or not love me enough that he will lie so that he loses his position as God. Because if God, the day God lies, he becomes subservient to the father of lies called the devil. God is not going to be under the devil today, tomorrow, or at any time. Therefore, God cannot lie. Do you receive that word?
Yes.
God is not going to lie. He's faithful. And he's my present help, not absent, my present help in the time of trouble. He doesn't, God doesn't go AWOL, absent without leave. Say, you're on your own. You're on your own. This battle, this one's too much for me. You're on your own. No. When Elijah put his foot in his mouth in Ahab's court, God says, it has hit the fan. Come. Sonny, come. Let me go and hide you for a moment. And he took him and he started feeding him. And when that place dried up, he took him somewhere else. He did not leave Elijah alone. And when it was time for Elijah to show himself, God says, it's time for you to go show yourself to Ahab. I've taken care of everything. I've already unraveled all their wills. Now it's time to cut these guys out. And so did God. So God says, be not conformed to this world. Don't do that. Don't allow that. But rather, be ye transformed. Metamorpho is the word that we get the word metamorphosis from. Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's how you change. Change happens because we are thinking differently. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
What did he do? He humbled himself. And God gave him a name that's above every other name in every realm. Be renewed in your mind. Why? That ye may prove. Prove it. Like a mathematician does. Proves it. What are you proving? What is that good? Acceptable? Perfect. You prove it. You manifest it. Why? Because you are a living sacrifice unto God and you've not allowed yourself to be transformed or conformed to this world. You're resisting the enemy because you are humble in the sight of God, and now God is using you to prove that which is his good. Isn't that amazing? When your child first starts doing something, you know, even though they're drawing all kinds of funny figures and doesn't have any semblance to anything, you say to the child, "Oh, that's good. Oh, that is good." You know it's rubbish, but it's good. Then they grow to the place where, not bad, that's acceptable. But then they come to the place where it's perfect. Wow, you did that? Wow, you did this? Do it again. That's a perfect. Because you're working at it. You didn't give up. When God says, don't be conformed to this world, he's saying, don't be like them. Be like me. Prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. The will of God. Manifest it. This is what God is saying. We all know in part. We see in part. But there is a perfection that God wants to bring us to. You know, where Every word that we say is exactly, perfectly, correctly what God said. Let me give you an example of what I'm just saying. I had a hornet nest in my yard. And been wanting to get rid of it, but it cost so much. I didn't want to waste God's money, you know, doing it that way. And I, oh, funny me. I went, I got some blankets and all kinds of funny garb, and I'm going out to go spray this hornet's nest. And Mama said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go get rid of those things. I went there, I saw those things flying, I came back in. I went to study more about it. I said, do it in the dark, do it in the dark. I said, okay, do it in the dark. Hey, but if those things come out of that thing, no. So I talked to God about it. Praise the Lord. God knew what I wanted. So he says, my son wants to solve this problem. I better solve it for him. So I had a dream. This is why I'm telling you this. We see in part. I had a dream. It was away from the city. I had a dream, and I saw this hornet's nest fall down. It's off from the fence where it was built, and just a handful of hornets, you know, maybe four or five, you know, just buzzing around. I said, "Ah, that hornet's nest fell down." So I got back, I went, and I checked on the hornet's nest. It was still there, but it was empty. I went 2 days later, still empty. I went another 2 days later, still empty. I threw stones at the thing. No hornets. God had cleared out the hornets. It's not because it is cold, because it's not cold enough for hornets to go on vacation. God cleaned that thing out. Amen? I just saw in part. What I saw was it falling down. But it was still there. But the key factor was that that nest was debugged. Hallelujah. So shall the Lord debug every problem around you in Jesus' mighty name. Get rid of all that nonsense. Hallelujah. You receive that word? Let's go further, and I'll stop in a moment. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to what? Think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, don't become arrogant. But think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the, not a, the measure of faith. The measure of faith necessary to deal with every mountain, to deal with every issue, to deal with every situation that you're going to face in the days to come. He gives you the necessary faith. And that faith is his faith. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And verse 4 says, it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, watch this, 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Remember I talked about the God has given to us the measure of faith. What is the point? God is saying, I'm going to use you all corporately. Amen? I'm going to use you corporately. I'm going to give to her the measure of faith. I'm going to give to her the measure of faith. I'm going to give to him the measure of faith. Everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, the measure of faith. So that if you don't have faith for something, there is somebody who's got faith for it. Even the, what do you call them, those birds? Geese, Canada geese. You see them forming their V as they're going. But guess what they do? One person is at the front taking all the heat. And when they are done, they shift. And the other one takes on. Is that not so? Same thing. Same thing. God gives to us all the measure of faith. So if one person is getting tired, the other person switches on. Chill, let me take this on now. It's my turn. Even wrestlers know, have enough sense. Hallelujah. When they're beating one up, he goes and grabs the rope. Huh? Tags off. Get ready to tag off. Amen? The other person has enough faith to continue the race. We will win. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll win together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Exchanging the baton. Because we are partners together with each other and with God. Are you hearing me? This year is going to be a year of practicality. Practicality. Because we're stepping into the promised land. And certain things that we used to believe for, that's not how God is going to do it now. God's saying, I'm giving you wisdom to make right decisions for the next dimension. But whatever it is that you do when you come into the promised land, know the first fruit belongs to God. Hallelujah. First fruits. You release it unto God, and God will do extraordinary things in us and with us. Rapidly, let me do this. 1 Peter 5 and verse 56. And then while I'm doing 1 Peter 5 and verse 56, I want you to get James chapter 4 and verse 6 ready. I'm going to read through this real quickly. Remember, the reason I want to read through this is because God says to us that he doesn't want us to be arrogant in Romans, right? So 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Learn submission. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And be clothed with what? Humility. Be clothed with humility. God is going to do amazing things. Exciting things, incredible things, and he says, while I'm doing that, don't become proud. Stay cool. Oh, we've got this. Look at this amazing thing. This. Oh, the whole church has changed. Oh, yeah. That's not it. The it is God. Amen? Be clothed with humility, for God will do what? Resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. To do what? To do more. The very moment you start celebrating whatever it is you've achieved now, you're shutting yourself down. Be thankful, but say, God, what's next? This one thing I do, I press. So what is the New Year 5782 about? It's about us being thankful, but not satisfied with where we are. Recognizing there is more to be done, more to be done, more to be done. Next. Lord, what's the next thing? Lord, what's the next thing? Lord, what's the next thing? Because God wants to do a quick work, and He's not about to keep camping. The camping time is over. Amen? Hallelujah. It's movement. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the what? Mighty hand of God. That He may what? Exalt you in due time, at the right time. Stay humble, and at the right time, the due time, I'm going to exalt you. And whoever it is God exalts, He's exalted. Amen? James chapter 4 and verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Huh. He giveth more what? Grace. More capacity, more ability. Wherefore He said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace, that is more grace, unto the humble. Amen? What is a humble person? A humble person is the person who is not arguing with God. A humble person does not argue with God. God says, this is what I want done. You say, yes, sir. Go get those, fill those pots with water. But Lord, they just said they need wine. Fill the pots with water. Go fill the pots with water. And when you bring the box or container of water to the Lord, and He says, take a cup of water out of there. Take a cup of water out of there. Don't start drinking it. Because the next instruction, and watch this, this is important. Go give it to the MC. So you go to the MC. The MC is expecting what? Wine. You give it to the MC. You know it is water. The MC does not know that it is water. Lesson number one. Follow the instruction. Lesson number two, don't volunteer information that you are not told to volunteer. Because if the guy goes to the MC and says, this is a cup of water, I hope this satisfies you. The miracle is ended. Give him the water. He's going to drink it and say, yikes, this is good wine. Don't argue it and say, excuse me, what did you say it was? Whatever it is that he says, believe it. That's what it is. Amen. And finally, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. Proverbs 3 and 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners. This is going to be an amazing year where those who are scorning and saying it is not possible will see that what they said was not possible, God did. Amen? Right now, I am working on a deal for the church. And I talked to somebody in the industry, and I told him how much I was going to be paying for what the deal I was working on. He said, that's impossible. Can't happen. Even 15 years ago, I could not buy it for that amount. Are you sure of what you're talking about? I said, yes. He said, okay, ask them for this, and, you know. So I said, okay, I'll check. I got all the information. He said to me, he said, if you can get it at that price, bring all of it here and sell it to me for a profit. And I will clear up everything that you got. So I said, okay, deal? Said, yeah. Then he said, actually, if you can get what you are talking about, which he already, and he kept on telling me, it's impossible. And I kept on saying, I understand where you're coming from, but with God, all things are possible. So I sent him information. He responds back to me and says, okay, I would like this kind of stuff if you can get it. So I made a deal. And the deal was so extraordinary. And I sent him the information. He says, great. Thumbs up. But you know, the deal I'm getting out of it is the shipping. I'm trying to get chairs, right? Do we have the dollars yet? No, but the dollars are here by faith. Amen. Amen. And the price is ridiculous, and he can't believe it. But the shipping cost is about $18,000 to $20,000 for this small 20 cubic foot container. But I learned something. He says, why don't you get a 40 foot? I said, why? He says, a 40 foot is only $2,000 more. And I will share it with you. So my bill now jumps back from 18,000 to 9 or 10,000. That's better. Isn't that good? But now I have some chips. If you want the deal, I got you. You got to give me some bread to cover my part too. I don't know what God is going to do, but I know this much. I serve a big God. He's bigger than the biggest, stronger than the strongest, higher than the highest. Hallelujah. I serve a big God. And he says, I want to be your partner. I say, you don't have to ask twice. I'm yours too. Oh God, use me. Use my life. How many people are ready to be used of God? Amen. God says, I am going to bring scorn on this corner, but I'm going to give grace to the lowly. Amen. Those who humble themselves before me, I'm going to give them grace to accomplish everything they want to accomplish. He's a God who is a problem solver. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, rise with me. Heavenly Father, there is none like you. We thank you, Father, that you've called us to partner with you. And Lord, oh God, we present ourselves in this year, 5782. We present ourselves to you. In 5781, you talked about the shut mouth, silence. But in 5782, you're saying, open your mouth wide and I'm going to fill it. And so, Lord, oh God, we open our mouths before you. Fill it with wisdom from above. Fill our minds with grace to be discerning, supernatural wisdom, the grace to apply truth in ways, oh God, that we've not experienced hitherto. Lord, we know that you are faithful in all of your dealings. And we cry out, oh God, for your help. Let the iron gates open wide, that access be granted us access, oh God, that brings us into a place of fullness. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for your prayer anointing that is resting upon us as your people, that we'll pray in the wisdom of the living God and call forth into the earth realm that which is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that our eyes are on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. You are God and you reign supreme in us. You are with us. You are working through us. You're working by us. You're working for us. And Lord, oh God, you're doing a new thing. Let your newness, oh God, be made manifest. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the sweetness of this new year. Blessed be your holy name. We fellowship, oh God, in your presence, and we say, thy kingdom has come, thy will even now is done here in the earth as it is in heaven. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes, and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, before we leave tonight, we're going to fellowship together sharing in the dipping of apple into honey, signifying the sweetness and fruitfulness of the new year. Amen? Hallelujah. And I don't know how you're going to serve it, but I want to encourage everyone to be involved in that wise. At this time also, I want you to come. Please honor the Lord with your giving, with your first fruit. This is your first offering in this new year. Let it be a release of God's favor on your lives. Amen? So as you come and you give your offering, also come and get your apple and honey. Yes. Amen?
I'm going to go get serviettes. I didn't bring.
Okay. You're welcome. No, we'll wait. Just get it and just let's wait for each other. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope there is enough for everybody. If there isn't, let those that are husband and wife just share one and release whatever it is that you have. The tray is finished. That is finished. Okay, so families, does anybody need one? I'll give mine. Okay. Okay. Wes? Oh, he Wes has a wife. Huh? Oh, Barbara Byron. Okay. Okay. Anybody else that doesn't have? Okay. That's good. Well, that works out beautifully. Oh, Did Sister Sandra get one? She'll have one? Okay. Good. Well, if you're at home, if you have some apples and honey, you can join us in this time. And I'm going to ask Mama to come We're going to share in communion together also. If you, I hope everybody got the elements of communion when they came in. If you didn't, just raise your hand and the ushers will serve you. Okay. Some people that need to be served. Somebody there that needs to be served. Tomorrow, we'll continue, and I'll continue the word of the Lord for us. But the most important day of this meeting is the day that was not advertised. That's going to be on Wednesday, the 8th. The Lord has spoken very clearly to me on what He wants done. He kept that to His chest all this while. And last night, as I was saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but I have a suspicion something's supposed to happen on the 8th. He told me exactly what needed to happen. So on Wednesday, we're going to be doing that. I'm not going to let you know what it is that we're going to be doing, but I want to encourage you as best as I can. Find your way right here into this house. Those that can't be here because distance-wise they are away from this province or this city, that's a different story. Those that have to work, that's a different story. But if you're going to sit home and not participate, I'm not talking to you. So be certain that you do everything that you can to be here for that gathering. Amen? Well, this evening, my Jewish neighbor came by. I'd sent them greeting, and they brought me some nice Jewish stuff that they eat during Rosh Hashanah. And we thank God for them. And I greet you. Shana Tova. Have a glorious, blessed, good year. Prosperous year. A fruitful year. May the trumpet of God, the Bible says, at the last trump, there was a transformation. We're all transfigured, changed in the twinkling of an eye, and lifted up. May the trumpet of God cause you to experience a lifting up, amen, a change. Hallelujah. You see, this particular feast, and this one, Atonement and Sukkot, but especially Rosh, scares the devil witless because he doesn't know whether this is the one that's going to finally cook his goose. He does not know. And so he throws up all kinds of things. Just watch. Every year, just around Rosh Hashanah, all kinds of mayhem happens around the world. Is the devil, you know, scared witless, throwing everything that he can throw, like a whatever. But it doesn't work for us. We are the chosen of the Lord. Amen? Amen? And so we are going to declare the sweetness of God, the promotion and elevation and grace of God to happen during this new year, 5782. Amen? 5782 is the year that your mouth is not going to be silenced, but your mouth is going to be filled so that you can speak clearly the will of God in the earth. Stop confirming the lies of the enemy. Say what God is saying. Amen? So rise with me Let us take of the fruit and declare with me, I am fruitful. I multiply. I am greatly increased of the Lord. And my life is graced with favor and with the sweetness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Dip your apple and eat. This is good. Hallelujah. Eat all three. You want your past, your present, and your future blessed. Amen. When the Lord called his disciples together and shared in communion with them, he did so by bringing them into a place of partnership. Amen? Praise the Lord. One of the things he did before that, the Lord says, Jesus, our Lord, knowing who he was, who he is, from whence he came, where he's going, got up, wrapped himself with a towel, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. And Peter says, you can't do that. Don't wash me. No. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you are not part of me. And he says, oh, not only my feet, all of me. And he says, all I need to do is wash your feet. Your walk is going to determine where you go. Today we partner with God. We take off this body. And as we take off this body, we're saying we are one with our Savior, our Redeemer, and all that he is, we are becoming and we are. Amen? Amen. Take of the body of the Lord and eat.
As we take off this wine tonight, it's a brand new year. It has started. It's God's calendar. So it's not man's calendar. So your new year of greatness have begun.
Amen.
Your new year of favor has begun.
Amen.
Your new year of covenant has begun.
Amen.
Your new year of healing has begun.
Amen.
Your new year of deliverance has begun.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
The boundary of blood is intact.
Amen.
Satan and his cohorts can never penetrate you and your family.
Amen.
Cannot touch anything that belongs to you.
In Jesus' name.
May God fight your battles.
Amen.
May God give you the victory.
Amen.
May God give you the success.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Our Jewish family, brothers and sisters, they started already. Jerusalem is like started long time already, so they are going into a new day. And they started for us already. Mm. So we are joining.
Yes.
And we say, Rosh Hashanah. There's a way they say it. You want to teach them how to say it?
Shana Tova.
Say it louder.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. Let's say it together. Shana.
Shana
Tova. Tova. Tova is always good.
Yes.
Tov. Praise the Lord. May you have a good, sweet year.
Amen.
You and your family.
Amen.
Sickness and disease, death, sorrow, pain will never find you.
In Jesus'
they
name.
They will pass Amen. Over.
Amen.
Prosperity look for you.
Yes.
Wealth look for you.
Yes, Lord.
Riches look for you.
Yes, Lord.
Goodness look for you.
Yes, Lord.
Favor look for you.
Yes, Lord.
Blessings come to you and your family.
Amen.
The word tonight was that we receive properties.
Yes.
We receive properties,
in Jesus
not
name.
Useless properties, goodly and excellent properties,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Valuable properties,
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen. God is good
all the time.
Hallelujah. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Just closing prayer.
Let us close in prayer. We've declared things already, so stop whatever you're doing for now. Let's pray, and then you can continue. Yeah, just wait. Daniel, wait till I finish praying, and then you continue. All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just lift your hand towards heaven. Heavenly Father, take every one of our hands. Walk us through this new year.
Amen.
Every step, all the way, may we not let go of your hand.
Yes, Father.
Take us through every single journey, and may we come out successful and victorious.
Amen.
We thank you for every family member and every household they represent. Let this blessing go to them and their family.
Yes, Father.
When I call to say thank you to my neighbor for what the food they brought to us to celebrate the sweet new year, they said, they were in prayer, but they took my call. And Lord, right now we're in prayer. We join that assembly of prayer, the ones that have been prayed and the one we're praying now and the yes. ones we have declared and the ones that have been declared. As the chauffeur blew, Lord, every problem in our lives is blown away.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
May every satanic agenda run away from every
in
one
Jesus
of us.
Mighty name.
May victory, things that we could not overcome, we overcome them now.
Yes, Father.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimonies.
Amen.
Thank you for mega testimonies.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
On Sunday, I was just sharing with somebody as on my way out that, you know what? My $2, my $20 get me things that are 10,000. And the person said, I want to be connected to that. Father, let that anointing fall on all our church
Amen.
Family. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
We buy with the favor of God.
Amen.
We buy in the waters of God.
Amen.
We receive the blessings of God
Hallelujah.
That add no sorrow.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you for victory
yes, Lord.
Over every issue. Sickness that people are struggling with, be gone in the name of Jesus. Addictions people are struggling with, be gone in the name of Jesus. Family issues that people are struggling with, be gone in the name of Jesus. Let God's people be free, that they will be dancing and rejoicing, full of joy. Unanswered prayers be answered
Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Hallelujah.
By the living God. The
yes,
best
Lord.
Answers.
Amen.
we receive.
Amen.
Somebody say, I receive.
I receive.
Say, I receive.
I receive.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful new year and get yourself rested. Have a wonderful day tomorrow. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening for another wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. Those of you that are still to honor your commitment, if you have it today, just or part of it or whatever, just let us know, bring it into our hands. And those of you that have not made a commitment yet, but you know you should, you have a figure in mind, but you don't have it yet, just write it in an envelope and bring it to us so we can join in agreement with you. We are partnering together for his greater purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Sister Sandra.
Yes, Sister Sandra. Yes. Amen. Amen. That was so good. Yes, more tomorrow. Yeah. Yes. Oh. Hello. I thought Moses was here. He took off. Amen.
Hi, stewards.
Praise the Lord. Bless you. Amen.
Bless you.